Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Let's pray. Father, again, we're just so thankful for this opportunity to come together to hear your word, your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul, to renew our mind, to bring real true salvation to our heart. Thank you, Father, that we walk in all the fullness of your word. Those traditions and doctrines of men that make the word of God of none effect, I thank you they'll be exposed, they'll be eradicated, they'll be pushed out, they'll be replaced with the truth of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the anointing that's upon your word that rests upon each and every one of us. Your word says that there's an anointing that teaches us. That anointing, the Holy Spirit within us, is the great teacher. So we thank you for the things that you have in store for each and every individual here tonight. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, the last couple of weeks, even last week for Mother's Day, we talked about a mother's faith. But back a couple of weeks before that, we talked about the word of faith and specifically what it is. And we've defined it starting there in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word. And we found out the word, W-O-R-D, is the word rhema, which is a word that a lot of Christians have never heard. Sometimes when we tell people, well, we went to Rhema Bible Training College, they'll go, you went to where? What, to rhema? And so rhema is a Greek word for the word word. All right, it's kind of a tongue twister, but that's how simple it is, the word. Is nigh thee. The rhema is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word, the rhema of faith, which we preach. And we know from the next two verses that every evangelist just about and person who goes out and is at all interested in evangelism and missions, they know verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago the source of this particular quotation, the word is nigh thee, actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. And we actually spent some time on that, and so I encourage you to go back to the message from a couple of weeks ago and listen to that. But that actually says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 14 adds something that says that thou mayest do it. The purpose of having the word in your heart, coming out of your mouth, is so that it equips you to be able to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And the thing is, you're not just a doer of the logos of the word that we talked about, which is that general written word that we all hear about. You know, the word logos is used about 330 times in the New Testament. The word rhema is not. It's only used about 70 times or so. It depends on whose concordance you look at. It's funny. But you see that the difference primarily is the logos is a word that is spoken or written, but it's more of a generalization. It's a kind of a broad brush, if you can put it that way. The Logos, and we looked at John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the what? The Word, the Logos. And the Word, the Logos, was God, was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about the Logos in the sense of the Word of God. As Jesus, that's the general broad sense of truth that we have, that's the Logos. All right? Over and over and over, you'll see that in the New Testament. We won't get into a lot of the details of it tonight, but we're going to look at some comparisons. So the purpose of showing you the difference is this. The Logos of God is wonderful because that's what is coming to us. Jesus is coming to us. The Word of God is coming to us. I'm teaching you the Logos. What the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, though, that's the Rhema. What I give you is the Logos. What you get out of it and take home with you that you can be a doer of is the rhema. See, you can look at the Logos and you can say, well, I'm going to try to do that. But if you do that in your own strength, you almost can get legalistic. But when you do it out of the revelation of God's word, when the Holy Spirit takes it and makes it real to you, Then it's a revelation. Then it's a rhema. The rhema of God's word is personal. It's specific. In fact, Rick Renner, in one of his wonderful sparkling gems, actually says this. Rhema is something that is spoken clearly and vividly, in unmistakable terms and in undeniable language, a quickened word, a specific word for a specific time and a specific purpose. That's his definition of the word rhema. And so it's specific to us. Sometimes what I may be sharing, or you may be reading the Bible, or you're reading the Logos, and all of a sudden something just kind of comes off the page at you. Guess what? Just happened. It turned into a rhema. It was a specific truth that just made it real. It impacted your life. And once it's real like that, you know, it's easy to do it then. Because you're convinced of it. You have faith to do it. Remember we talked 2 weeks ago in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But that's the rhema. It's not the logos. See, this is where a lot of people think, well, if I just sit and listen to the Bible enough, I'll have faith. You can listen to the Bible all day long on your little headset, but if you're not listening with the intention of hearing what the Spirit is saying to that's the church,
right. Yeah, amen to that.
That's the difference. That's right. And a lot of people go to church, but they go out the door with only some logos. They don't go out the door with the rhema. And I believe and I hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you every time you come here, because that's why we call ourselves a word church. It's not just a logos church. We're a rhema church. People don't understand that when we say we're a rhema church. When I say I'm a rhema church, it's because I want you to go out the door with something that is personally speaking to your heart and revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So that when you get out of there, you go, wow, you know, I didn't know that before. And again, it wasn't because I said it or I shared it with you. It's the Holy Spirit said, I want you to get a hold of that one little nugget of truth. Because that one little nugget of truth can nudge you in the right direction to walk into things and be a doer of the word. Again, Deuteronomy 30, but the word is nigh thee, unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So, to me, that's the New Testament hidden in the Old, and then we find the Old Testament hidden in the New, so to speak. And it shows the contrast when we went through that of righteousness. We went through, spent a lot of times on Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, where it's quoting various passages there in Deuteronomy 30, but it's talking about who's going to go up to heaven, who's going to go down into the deep, who can do that again, and it's talking about the contrast of righteousness, which is of the law, or righteousness, which is of the faith. You know, righteousness of the law is someone hears just the logos. Here's the legality of the word. Here's what you have to do. And a lot of religion, a lot of denominations, I was brought up in a denomination that way. You get the logos and you get the rules, you get the regulations, you get the thou shalt nots. And you understand what that means. That's the logos. Because you're trying to be conforming to this outward set of rules and regulations. But when it's in your heart, when it gets revealed to you, all of a sudden you know you don't have to do it. You know, you've heard my testimony, most of you, about the fact that the day I got born again, something supernatural happened to me when it came to my potty mouth.
Yes.
I was a foul mouth, potty, bad taste of gutter gums, I used to say. Because I could swear with the best of them. I created foul words, I think. And I did it in front of my customers. I did it in front of people. I was so oblivious. I didn't even know I did it. Because it was just in my heart. It was just who I was. It was just, ah. And when I got born again, something automatically changed. I mean, just instantly. I've never had an issue with it. But, you know, other people say, I'm not going to swear anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, they try to do it in their own works of the flesh because they know the law or the word, the logos says, thou shalt not do this. So, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, guess what? It's a losing battle. You get it in your heart. You get it in your mouth in the sense of, thank you, Father, I don't have to do that anymore. Thank you, Father, I've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, I'm a new creation in Christ. You start confessing the rhema that's real to you, and pretty soon you'll be walking in it. And it won't be an issue anymore because it's real to you. It's a specific, undeniable, unmistakable truth that's quickened, a word that's quickened, that's specific at a specific time, a specific purpose. and it just helps us get through things. So now turn over to Colossians chapter 1 again. Kind of ended up here last time, 2 weeks ago. And we talked about a mother of faith, and we talked about the examples there in the Old Testament. We can always go back and listen to that. But I want to get on to the gospel and the rhema and the logos of the word and how it affects us in everyday life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We looked at this, and so let's going to read through this again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word, that's the word logos, of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. There's something here about the word of the truth of the gospel. We spent time talking about the fact that verse 5 and 6 says it should produce fruit. The word in your life should produce fruit. The grace and the gospel there are almost interchangeable in those two verses. But the word of the truth of the gospel reveals the grace of the truth of God. I'm going to say that again. The word of the truth of the gospel from verse 5 really goes on and reveals in verse 6 the grace of God in truth. The grace of God in truth is revealed when you come to the Logos. When you come to the Word of God, it starts to get revealed and it turns into rhema for you. There's something about that revelation. There's something about you going, now I get it. You know, some people can be born again for years and then all of a sudden hear a message on something and they go, I can't believe I've never seen that before.
That's right.
It's just like, where have I been? And all of a sudden it's just alive to you. And it wasn't there a minute ago. But it was always there in the Word, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's always been right here.
That's right.
But where it hadn't been before was right here in your heart. Right. And coming out in your mouth, all of a sudden you go, wow. And if you really want to make it real, when you get that wow, go tell somebody.
Right.
The minute you get it, start to share it with someone, and then you have to, in a sense, verbalize what you just got. Isn't it amazing how you can hear something from someone, and then you got to go tell someone else? It always comes out a little different, doesn't it? In fact, every time you tell it, it comes out a little bit different sometimes. But when you go and tell it to someone else, there's something about the way you speak it out, the way you say it with conviction, the way you say it because you believe it and you share it, that it becomes more real to you. That's why we talk about confessing the Word, taking the Word of God and making it personal. By His stripes, I have been healed. Himself bore my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. Those aren't just nice scriptures or logos to talk about. That's a rhema that is real to you when you need it. He is my provider. Every scripture that is in there about those promises of in Him that we've talked about so much, those righteousness promises, personalize them. Talk of them from your heart. Let them be revealed as the truth of the gospel, this grace of the gospel will be revealed. Now again, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Christ that's revealed in the gospel is good news. You know, I'm not against a lot of the wonderful teachings out there about your best life, and those things are great. I'm not knocking any of those things. A lot of people need those things. But I want you to understand that the good news is more than good advice.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again because I tried to make this point a couple weeks ago and I don't think I made it very well. There's a lot of people that are preaching the good advice. I don't know if it's the good news though. You know, there might even be good advice, may not be good news sometimes. The gospel is always what? Good news. Everyone say good news.
Good news.
It's good news. You know, God giving you sickness to teach you something is not good news.
Amen.
We'll get into that probably next week about another gospel in Galatians. I almost thought about getting into it tonight, and I thought, I got to finish out what I'm doing here, laying the foundation about this. Because when you understand that the gospel comes from the Logos, the Word of God, that is then revealed to you personally, the Rhema of God, so that it's real for you to walk in and live and speak and act, then it's going to be something that promise is going to be yes and amen to me. Then it's going to be real to me. Then the healing power of God is for me. Then that need that I have is going to be met because God says, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. It's not just he's going to meet Joshua's needs, he's going to meet my needs too. See, we have to personalize it. We have to say, God, reveal that to me. Speak that to me. I need that for me. I need that truth. Let the Holy Spirit speak it to you. So, well, Pastor, that's for you. You're a man of God. Well, yeah, right. So are you. You're a man and woman of God too. We're all children of God in that sense. So when we look at these scriptures and we see this good news, this gospel, this truth, this logos and this rhema all working together, I want the Word of God to work mightily in your life. I want it to not just be an intellectual exercise. The Word of God should not be behavior modification. It should be transformation. The Rhema of God will always transform you from the inside out. I have seen people use the Logos of God, though, to try to conform people from the outside in. Yep. That's called religion.
Yep.
You know, isn't it amazing that almost every cult has some basis of truth in the Bible?
Right.
They'll take some scriptures and use them as a foundation to say, this is what you have to do. And they'll use them to tell you how to act, how to behave, what to say, where to live, what to do. And they will use that as an outward influence to make you conform to their image of what is holy or godly. When in all reality, God's already made you the righteousness of God, and I don't have to be conformed to anything. He's already been doing a transformation on the inside. That's where the revelation comes. Every time I get another rhema word from God, it's like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I'm being conformed more and I'm being transformed more. Turn over to John chapter 12. I'm reviewing as fast as I can. But it's good because it was 2 weeks ago and you probably all needed to hear it again anyways. John chapter 12, verse 47. Here's a great example of a contrast where the word rhema and logos are both used in the same passage. There's a half a dozen or so examples of this in the New Testament. Whether we get to more of them or not, I don't know. But this is a good one. John chapter 12. If any man, verse 47, sir, if any man hear my words, rhema, and believe not. If anybody hears the word of God, a rhema from God. If somebody, something that you are hearing is revealed to you. It's like, oh, I never saw that before. Okay, healing is for me today. Whew. Okay, healing is real. Okay. And believes not. You know, there's people that hear the message of the gospel about salvation and they don't believe it. There's people that hear the message about Christ the healer. And guess what happens? They don't believe it. So let's read that. If any man hear my words, a revelation, a word that could reveal something to you that could change your life, but you're not accepting, you're not believing it, what does he say? I don't judge you. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, he that rejects me, now I'm going to remind you, he and the word are one. So in a sense, I could put logos in there, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Because John 1:1 tells me that he is the Logos, the living Word of God. So, he that rejects me in that context and receives not my words, that word there is again rhema, has one that judges him. The word, the Logos that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, there's something about that written word that when we have failed to accept it, and we have failed to live up to it, and we have rejected Jesus, the Word of God, and all that he has stands for in his righteousness, it's going to come and it's going to stand before us and it's going to convict us. We will be judged according to the Word of God. And thank God it says in the last days, not today. So there's always time to repent. There's always time to get our act together. There's time to say, thank you, Father, show me what I need to see it today. Today. You know, in fact, Hebrews talks about harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. Let our hearts be softened to it. I need to hear today what I need to hear today about healing or about finances or about walking in love. If you were in the Equip class, you heard my wife talking about forgiveness. The revelation, she got a rhema word today about something. And it changed her perspective. It released her. She actually talked about the weight just lifted off her when she got that. Just this one little obvious truth. Did she have knowledge of it before, that a principle of forgiveness? Absolutely. She's probably taught on forgiveness 100 times. And yet at that moment, she's reading scriptures, she's going through scriptures, and at that moment, the Logos, the truth, the gospel about forgiveness, there was a specific time and a specific revelation for a specific reason applied to a specific person. She said, wow, Father, forgive me, because I need to forgive those other people. I can't carry that. I can't afford to carry that. It's how dangerous it is. It's dangerous to her health. It's dangerous to her attitude. It's dangerous to relationships. And that revelation lifted her. That revelation specifically released her. Isn't that true? Now, did she have the Logos in the minute before that? Absolutely. Did she have knowledge of it? Sure she did. She could have probably turned around and shared it with anybody else. But for herself, all of a sudden it was like, hello, I'm knocking on your heart. I want to reveal this to you, how it applies to you right now in this situation with these people. That's specific. Specific time, specific purpose, sometimes a very specific word. And when those things come, we need to rejoice in them. That means the Holy Spirit's alive in our life. That means the Holy Spirit is working. That means He desires to speak to our heart. He's always there knocking at the door. He's always saying, I just let me in and let me show you something here. Just one little nugget today. Just let me show you that, and I'll just transform your life for another day. And you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll take it. How about another one? Give me another nugget. I'll take another rhema. See, you just go for those, and you look for those. But if you're not getting into the Logos, guess what you probably never get? Is a rhema. They go hand in hand. I know some people, they teach, almost dissect the two and set one way over here and one way over there. They're almost inseparable at times because one leads to the other and the other feeds off the other. They just go back and forth. They're like two sides of the same coin, if I could put it that way. If any man hear my rhema, my words, and doesn't believe them, I don't judge them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words, not my rhemas, those specific words that He is speaking to our hearts, has one that will judge him, the word, the Logos, that I have spoken. The same will judge in the last day. So that written word is out there. We already know what it is. And you know, there's a time when all of a sudden it's going to come up and it's going to show us something. And we need to take it to heart, as we say. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at another example where Logos and Rhema are used in a very simple illustration that Paul uses to the church. This will probably wake some of you up right here because you've probably never seen this before. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, taking the what? Okay, now, see my little pen here? This is my itty-bitty sword here. All right? I forgot to do it. I have a wonderful little letter opener. It looks like a sword. I should have brought it with me as an illustration. But you'll have to do it with my pen. So, taking the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, right? The Word of God, which is a sword. It's a rhema. Everyone say rhema.
Rhema.
This word here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. So remember, the sword is the rhema. See, some people want to take the Logos, and that's a club. That's a great big battering ram. But if you've ever studied the armor of God, you'll find out that the sword that they're talking about here is the kind of Roman sword that was a small what was known as a cutting sword or a jabbing sword. It was the kind where the Roman soldiers would get behind their all their shield, and they would march along, and they would use that short blade to go right between those shields. And all you had to do was put that blade 2 or 3 inches into your enemy, and it was enough to kill him. It was a short stabbing, a little, gotcha. Which is the sword of the Spirit. And these people all knew what that kind of sword looked like. They all were very aware of that sword. Every Roman soldier they saw carried one of those swords. If they ever saw someone get hit, they probably knew exactly how. All you have to do is one good jab with that sword, and they're done. That Roman soldier knew exactly how to take that sword and put it in there and turn it and jerk with it, and all of a sudden, That enemy is dead. See, that's what we need to do to our enemies. Sickness, take a poke at it with the Word of God. Gut it. Jab it. And it doesn't take a big, clubbing it and clubbing it and clubbing it and clubbing it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the revelation that you have of God's healing, the revelation that you're the righteousness of God, the revelation that the Word of God in you is working, and just jab it right into that lie that says, oh no, God's the one that's making you sick to teach you something. Oh no, you deserve this because you did X, Y, and Z. The devil's the accuser of the brother. You don't deserve any sickness. Jesus already took it. And you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, and you jab it right back at him. You just jab that lie. You jab that accusation. You jab it, and you just keep going at it. But see, some of us, we leave our sword in the sheath. We just leave it there. No. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance. Underline the word utterance there, because that's actually the word logos. That a logos may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Again, he's saying, I want you to know the mystery of the full gospel of truth, which comes through the logos, so that you can get a hold of it and becomes a rhema to you, so you can use that sword. Fight with that sword. Use that sword offensively. All the rest of the armor of God, the helmet, the buckler, everything else is defensive, isn't it? It's to protect you. The one thing that we are given that is offensive to go at the enemy is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Rhema of God. Not the Logos. Paul's saying, pray that I have Logos. Pray that I have words to speak that are going to reveal the mystery of the gospel. And this gospel is going to be so powerful and such a powerful revelation for you, then it's going to turn into something personal, and it's going to be revealed to you so right at the moment, right specifically when you need it. It's like, yes, I've got it. What is it that you need? Are you being attacked about a fear, a worry, concern about your finances, concern about a family member, concern about, thoughts can go a lot of different directions, can't they? Thoughts can run away with you. But if you don't take those thoughts captive and bring every thought into captivity to Christ, so to speak, or as my wife was teaching her to think on these things, what are you supposed to think on? Things that are pure and lovely and of good report. If they have any virtue, if they have any praise, think on these things, Philippians chapter 4. And when you do that and you start to do that specifically, that's taking the sword of the Spirit and sticking it to the enemy, sticking it to those thoughts, sticking it to those symptoms, sticking it, in a sense, to that lack that you might be experiencing in whatever area of your life it is. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Rhema, in that case, is a quickening, specific word that's revealed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to use it to defeat our enemies. Where the Logos is more of a broad, sweeping, understandable weapon, if you want to put it that way, but it's more of a broad sweeping direction for our lives, if I could put it that way, I suppose. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. Let's look at another one. Acts chapter 10. Verse 44. We know this account where Cornelius the centurion calls for Peter. There's visions and all kinds of wonderful things involved. And Peter shows up and he starts preaching to them. A very simple gospel message. And I love verse 44 because while Peter's preaching, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, there's two things there. He spoke some words, and they heard some words. Now, when I first read this one, I thought I had it wrong. I was thinking, I'm reading this wrong. I was looking at a Greek text, and I was going through the Greek language on it, and I'm thinking, I'm not seeing this right. And so I studied it out, and sure enough, the way it's worded there, I had to kind of get my own revelation on it. I had to get my own rhema on it. Because the first part, Peter's yet spoke these rhemas, the rhema word to them. And the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the Logos. See, they were hearing the Logos. They all heard the Logos, didn't they? Everyone there heard the Logos. But specifically, they heard something because all of a sudden in the middle of his sermon, something so specific hit them and revelation hit them. What happened? They all started speaking in tongues and glorifying God. They got born again before he gave the altar call. All of a sudden, they got a revelation of God before he even got done with his message. Now, I know as a teacher and as a preacher, that's like, at least let me give my punchline at the end, okay? I mean, I got my notes all studied out. Don't go, you know, thinking that you got it all figured out before I get there. But the Holy Ghost did that, didn't he? He gave them the rhema right in the middle of his message, and all of a sudden, out comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues, they start glorifying God, and Peter's going, wait a minute, what's this all about? And so, of course, then he's thinking, well, these guys are Gentiles. I don't know what to do with these Gentiles. They got the Holy Ghost just like me. See, he didn't even know Gentiles could get saved. And he's going, this isn't right. This can't be right. This must be crazy. And then he says, well, we better at least do something religious. Let's go baptize them in water. So they run down, they baptize them in water. He says, well, we've got to at least do something right. So they baptize him in water. And of course, then Peter goes back to Jerusalem and gets in all kinds of trouble about it, doesn't he? And he says, well, what am I going to say? The Holy Spirit fell on them just like he fell on us, just the same way. And they're still going, I don't know. I mean, how does God save Gentiles? Huh? And sometimes we look at someone and say, I don't know how God saved that person. Huh? You know how he saved them? He gave them a rhema word. Someone preached the Logos to them, and right in the middle of that, it turned into a rhema. I know that's what happened to me the night I got my eyes opened up. That Logos that I sat there and argued with that little charismatic Catholic lady, something just, I got a revelation. I wasn't looking for it, didn't want it, didn't ask for it. In fact, I was resisting it. I was rejecting it. I was more of a John chapter 12 guy. And yet, there was something that opened up. There must have been people praying for me because there was one desire in my heart. I want the truth. There was a hunger in my heart that I didn't care what it was. I wanted the truth. And that was enough for God to snare me by my own words. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And guess what he gave me? The truth of the gospel. Problem was, I didn't think there was truth in the gospel. Because to me, what I had heard as the gospel up until that point wasn't good news. But someone finally preached me the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, the real gospel. And that gospel turned into a rhema. And that rhema from the Logos that I was hearing went, wow, changed my life. Changed your life too, didn't it? You can all think of that moment. There's a time in your life when there was something that was spoken that all of a sudden there was no one else involved, but you know that God showed you something that you didn't know before. and it transformed your life. Be thankful for that rhema. Be thankful for the word that comes and reveals specific things at a specific time for a specific purpose. Be thankful of it. And understand, never hold back when you have the opportunity to share the Logos with someone, because God's willing to turn it into a rhema for them. Did you catch all that? While Peter yet spoke these words, the rhema, it went forth. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They heard the word. It changed something. I'm trusting that tonight you'll allow the Holy Ghost to reveal something to you, a rhema that you're going to go home with that's going to take you another step further into the things of God. Luke chapter 1. One more example. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. This is a really interesting passage as well. King James says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now we know the incident there. The angel shows up. Gabriel gives the announcement that she's going to bear a child. And when you read the whole thing from really verse 26 all the way through 38, we see that the Logos is something that is spoken. When you go back to verse 29, "And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying." That's the word Logos there. The words that he said, just the generalized words, the whole speech there, if you could put it that way, the whole discourse there is called the Logos. "And she was troubled at it." And it says, "And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be." She was kind of dealing with, what is he saying? What's the deal with this little speech here? What's he trying to get across to me? I don't understand what this angel is saying to me. But then something happens. When she challenges him, the angel says to her in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, when you run a concordance on that, and you run Greek letters on that, and you run all kinds of interesting studies on that, it's very interesting because the word rhema is right in the middle of that. It's about three or four words that are like at a conjuncture. It's really difficult to sort it out. Because is it the word nothing? Is it the word impossible? Sometimes you run one concordance in one Greek lexicon, and the word impossible pops up as rhema. Another one, the word nothing pops up as rhema. Another one, all four words together pop up as rhema. Because when you look at it, there's actually like three or four Greek words that really get across this idea that the rhema word of God, there's nothing impossible to it. When the rhema hits you, glory to God, nothing's going to hold you back. When the rhema get, when you get a hold of a rhema, the devil lost. We got inside information. Nothing shall be impossible. And that's what that angel was trying to. He had a specific message, something very personal, that only applied to her, to Mary, and said, "I want you to understand, with God, nothing's impossible. When his word goes to work and is revealed to you, nothing's going to be able to stop it. It's going to go to work inside you, and you're going to bring forth what's going to be known as the Son of God." You can see that in later on in that verse. So, the rhema was given, and the Logos was given birth. Isn't that interesting? So from this, "With God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," which is rhema. Be it unto me according to that revelation of that spoken word, that specific word that you just said to me, I receive it. I get it. It's mine. Make it happen. Now, maybe you're believing God for some healing. Maybe you're believing God for some finances. Maybe you're believing God for a new job. Maybe you're believing God for a breakthrough in an area in your life. I know some people are thinking, well, let's pray for Gabriel to show up. All Gabriel is going to bring you is the Logos. You've already got a more sure word of prophecy right here. You don't need an angel to show up. You've already got the best word there is right here. Get into the Word of God, and I guarantee you that when you start searching it and you start seeking it and you start reading through it and asking God to show you some of those things, the rhema is going to come. And when it comes, nothing will be impossible to you.
Hallelujah.
All things are possible to them that believe God and trust God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
But you've got to get a hold of it. There's a transformation, a transfer of Logos into Rhema that comes when we grab hold of it for ourselves. You know, we're all guilty sometimes of going, you read something and, boy, you know, Josh really needs this. I'm going to send this to Josh. Well, it's a two-edged sword, and the first place that sword should go is this way, hit you right in between the eyes before you hit somebody else with it. Amen.
Amen.
Always go like this with it first, and hopefully it'll just lodge there and stay. And it'll never come out. You'll huh? That's enough on that one. Thank you. So, when she saw him, she was troubled at his logos, his saying, but she allowed that word of God. In fact, one translation says this, for no word of God shall be void of power. I like that translation. No rhema of God shall be void of power. The Amplified actually puts it this way in Luke 1:37. For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Ooh, that's good. A word of God that's spoken to you, that you've been given, that's been received on the inside of your heart, that is personal now to you, that he has spoken to your heart about your specific situation or your need. He says, that word, nothing is ever impossible. That word from God shall never be without power. It shall never be impossible of fulfillment. It's going to take place. Keep trusting God to do that. For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. She says, I am the Lord's maidservant. May it be done unto me according to your word. So, you get down to chapter 2 and verse 19, and all kinds of things are happening. The shepherds show up. I just don't have time to take you through the whole discourse. It's the Christmas story. You all are very aware of it. The shepherds show up and they start telling them all these things that have happened. The angels chorus. And it's a very interesting. Verse 19 is a very interesting verse. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things. Underline the word things. Because the King James does it. An injustice here for us. Most translations actually have the word things. And it's really sad because it's the word rhema. But Mary kept all this rhema, this revelation, these things that the angels said, these things that she's hearing, these things that these shepherds came, these things that now are being personally revealed to her about her mission and her assignment in life. These things that only apply specifically to her. And so they things, these things. The word things is just, it just doesn't do it. But the word rhema, if they'd have just put that in there, if they would have put the revealed word of God in there, an emphasized translation, the New Hanson translation, huh? That would have changed when we read it. But Mary kept all these revealed, specific revelations from God, these words that were applied to her only. She pondered them in her heart. Actually, the Century translation actually says it this way. They're the only one that got it right, as far as I'm concerned. But Mary treasured up all these words, often pondering them in her heart.
Praise the Lord.
Treasured them up in her heart. These words that were revealed to her. Mm-hmm. Are we treasuring the word that God has revealed to us? Are we treasuring them? What do you do with a treasure? You protect it. Mm-hmm. You just don't go off to some island and bury it either. You know, draw a little map that no one else can figure it out. You treasure them up in your heart. You put them in a place that's going to have an impact. Because out of the abundance of your heart, out of that good treasure, Jesus said, is where we bring forth good things. And so when we talk about bringing forth good things out of the good treasure, those are the rhema things
Hallelujah.
That God has revealed to us. Those are the rhema things that are real, that have been applied to our life and have been specifically given to us so that we can walk in them and share with others and demonstrate to others and be an example to others. But Mary kept all these things, treasured them up, treasured these words, these rhema words in her heart. All right, I hit 8 o'clock, so I better quit here. Luke chapter 5. I literally have over 70 pages of notes here. We're not going there tonight. Those are all reference for me. I studied them all out. I looked up all 330 logos and all 70 rhemas. Looked them all up. Saw how they worked. And I just picked out ones that I felt would be applicable, and I hope they worked for you tonight. But let's use this as our last entry. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word, the Logos of God. Again, there's the general word. Jesus is preaching the general gospel, the good truth of the gospel, the word of God, the Logos. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. Get down to verse 3. He entered into one of the ships and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, in other words, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for draught, however you want to pronounce that. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, classic sermon here, 100 sermons out of this passage, but I want you to get something very specific. I want you to get a rhema out of it tonight. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Isn't that a good confession of faith right there? Lord, we've worked so hard and we got nothing to show for it. And then you want me to go out there and drop my nets again? We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, everyone say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Because I don't care what your circumstance says, there's a nevertheless in there. There's a nevertheless when it comes to God. And the nevertheless has to do with the rhema that God wants to speak to you about that situation. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what the doctor said about those symptoms. Nevertheless. Mm-hmm. But Pastor, you don't know what the banker said about that. Nevertheless, God's my source and He's the God of every resource. Nevertheless, at thy word, at thy rhema. Everyone say rhema. At thy rhema, I will let down the net. See, he got a specific word for a specific time to do a specific action that God said, if you do this, you'll get specific results. But you've got to receive it and you've got to obey it. You've got to do it. You've got to act on it. We've got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And when he got that rhema, now again, all those people were pressed about listening to the word, it says back in verse 1, hearing the Logos. But Jesus turns to Peter and says, I want you to drop your nets in the water right here, right now. They're sitting out there in the bay, all the people up there. It's a little amplifier situation with the way, you've ever heard that? You know, somebody does something out of the water, it's amazing how it just goes like crazy. Perfect sound system. Drop your nets. But Master, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. Huh? That's the way some of us sound sometimes when God asks us to do something. He says, I want you to go to church today. But Master, I've worked all day. I'm so tired. I can't go to work. I've been at work. I can go to church too. That's expecting too much of me. And I'm, of course, see, you guys are all here, so I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to you on the microphone. Huh? See, it's not going to fly when it comes to him. You should have said, nevertheless.
That's right.
Because of the word. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get something tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe that every time you come here, you're going to get something. Amen. I believe that every time you come here, you're going to go home with something that God revealed to you. Oh, Pastor, that message was just wonderful. I don't want my message to be wonderful. I want God to do something wonderful for you.
Hallelujah.
Because all I'm giving you basically is the Logos of word. I can't give you a rhema.
Yeah.
I can only speak to you the Logos. They came to hear the Logos. I know you came to hear a Logos. But go home with a rhema.
Yeah.
Go home with something that you didn't have before
right.
you came here tonight.
Amen.
Go home with the instruction on the inside. Glory to God, I'm going to apply this towards my finances tonight. Glory to God, I'm going to get on this about my family tonight. Amen. Glory to God, I'm going to get on this about my health tonight.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Because we're doers of the word, not hearers only.
And we're hungry.
Amen. The rhema of God's word will always make the difference. Nevertheless, at thy rhema, I will let down the nets. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's stop right there. Father, we're just so thankful.